Guest in the first hour of the show today is George Cody, C-O-D-Y. George is the executive director of the American Task Force for Lebanon. You can find that website at atfl.org. And once you go to that website, there's a place to click, find an article entitled A Million Unexploded Cluster Bomblets, The Deadly Legacy of Israel's Assault on Lebanon. Today we're going to be talking with Dr. Cody about this whole issue of cluster bomblets in South Lebanon, what it means, why we should be concerned, and what the entire picture is for peace and stability or something other than that in that region of the world at the present and in political history. Dr. Cody, how are you, sir?
Hello?
Yes, George, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Listen, I've just been sharing with the listeners the fact that the American Task Force for Lebanon can be found at atfl.org, and I made specific reference to this article entitled A Million Unexploded Cluster Bomblets, The Deadly Legacy of Israel's Assault on Lebanon. What is the overall situation regarding these cluster bomblets? Why should we be concerned about it?
Well, first of all, you indicated, there are over there are reports from the United Nations that there's still over a million of these bomblets that have not exploded and that remain to be found and disarmed. And I think it's my understanding about 10% so far of the bomblets that were fired into Lebanon from Israel have been disarmed, have been found, and so on. So that there's about was as of March 14th, and that leaves about 90% or probably 88-90% that still have to be cleared. At the current time, there are what they call battle area clearance teams that are set up, and I think there's about 50 of them that are set up between 10 and 15 what are called deminers or sappers that are trying to locate these various cluster bombs that have not exploded. The problem is, if I may say, the problem is that everybody knows that that Israel fired these cluster munitions into Lebanon. That's not a secret. What is disturbing is that Israel refuses to turn over the site coordinates of where they fired these bomblets, because everything is done by computer. You know, when they do it by artillery, by airplane, or whatever way, by missiles, whatever way they fire these things, it's all computer generated. And I was told by the nation's coordinating team that it's very simple. If they had the site coordinates, they could dial them into a computer, into a laptop, print them out, and know exactly where to go to find these bomblets. And Israel, so far, despite the United States and the United Nations and other members of the community, Amnesty International and some of the other organizations, requesting Israel to turn over the site coordinates, they've refused to do that so far.
Well, you know, one of the things that was most disturbing to me in regard to report on this on your website, which, again, people can find at atfl.org, that's the American Task Force for Lebanon, atfl.org, is that Israel dropped 90% of these munitions in the last 72 hours of the conflict, and they knew that a ceasefire was imminent.
That's correct.
Boy, so this dovetails with another disturbing fact, which is listed at the top of your report, and it's a quote from Haaretz on November 20th, 2006, that indicates that the IDF chief of staff indicated that these cluster bombs were used with extreme caution, not to fire them into populated areas, yet that's exactly what the IDF apparently did. We'll be back with Dr. George Cody of the American Task Force for Lebanon. Mark Ancos America returns to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RPN. Stay tuned.
Catholic priest called on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching. that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez about the Zionist plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush Zionist and how Congress is controlled by the Zionists. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address. In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, and the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Dr. George T. Cody of the American Task Force Lebanon. We're talking specifically about at least a million unexploded cluster bomblets, the deadly legacy of Israel's assault on Lebanon. Dr. Cody, I was looking again at this report, which I read a couple of nights ago in its entirety as it's posted on your site. And what's fascinating to me is that Haaretz, the Israeli daily newspaper, is quoted last November the 20th, is basically saying that the IDF chief of staff, Dan Halutz, had ordered the IDF to utilize these cluster bombs with so-called extreme caution and not to fire them into populated areas, and yet exactly what happened. Is this story about Halutz a bit of Israeli disinformation, or are you satisfied that his actions in this were pretty much as advertised? And if so, how did the lower levels of the IDF end up executing a policy that was at variance with what chief of staff wanted?
Well, let me answer your question. First of all, let me answer the second part of your question first.
Sure.
I don't know how his orders were. Quote-unquote, disobeyed. I'm not sure how that took place because I just don't have any kind of access to the internal workings of the IDF. But what I can say is the first part of your question, the statement is, in fact, correct. And I'd like to just, if I may, I'd like to just quote something for you that's actually much, much later. On April 10th of this year, 2007, in the Washington Post, Deputy Defense Minister Ephraim Snay was quoted as saying, and if I may, I want to quote it directly. Israel made a mistake when it used cluster bombs during the Second Lebanon War. Snay acknowledged this to the BBC in a documentary on last summer's war in Lebanon, broadcast on the Radio 4 network in the United Kingdom on April 10th, and internationally on the BBC World Service, and it's on the website. Mr. Snay became the first Israeli government representative to apologize for using cluster bombs, according to a transcript of the documentary obtained exclusively by the Jerusalem Post on April 10th. Quote, "It was a mistake. It was a mistake," unquote, Snay told interviewers Edward Stoughton and Mark Savage.
Well, that's absolutely incredible. And again, thinking about Snay's very high profile in the Israeli government and to an extent in the Israeli media, it puts into perspective exactly what it is that we're talking about here. Now, taking his statement just for the moment at face value, if you have a deputy defense minister issuing an apology for Israel having done this, why then has Israel failed to follow up with cooperation with the relevant other parties in regard to cleaning up this mess?
If I was able to answer that question, I think everyone would feel much better about this entire situation. I don't know why, but what I can tell you, and what I can tell you is this: since the end of the war, because of these cluster munitions and bomblets being wherever they are, and a lot of the times we don't know where they are, 30 people as of March 14th. This is the latest UN report, the latest one that I 30 people have been killed, 191 people, men, women, and children, have been injured. And so why they do not refuse to turn over these site coordinates, despite appeals from the United States and the United Nations, I just don't know the answer to that question. And we're continuing to press the State Department to press the Israelis for them to do this.
Yes, and quite clearly it seems to me that taking Snay's public statement that was issued, on April 20th?
April 10th, excuse me.
April 10th. Right. No, excuse me, I'm the one that that misquoted what you said. Looking at that, of course, that April 10th quotation, it begs the question as to, again, why some very significant people in the American government have not been pressing Israel to release those site coordinates. As it stands now, the other thing that struck me through reading through the report again last night is that there are estimates of anywhere from 1.2 to 4 million of these cluster bomblets being in southern Lebanon. That's a rather wide variance. 1.2 is bad enough. Certainly 4 million is far worse. Is there a way of, in your view, getting a good estimated guess as to whether the low end of that is more accurate or the high end?
Let me just tell you this. I can respond, if I may, again.
Sure.
And here's what the United Nations has said to try to get a better handle on this thing. On April 9th, I received the following information from a United Nations official actually has a great deal of responsibility for this particular issue. Here's what they said they need to get a more accurate and a more precise count on the cluster bomb. One, the location areas targeted Lebanon where the explosive ordnances were used. Two, the approximate number of explosive ordnances used in these areas. Three, the type and the nature of the actual ordnance. And four, the general location of known and probable exploded ordnance. I was told that if they were able to get, and the Israelis can provide this information. It's not a secret. I mean, we're not talking here about classified information. This is information that's readily available. That they have it. They have it on, on hard drives. They have it on in software that can be downloaded and again uploaded. If they're able to get that information, they can then give you a much more precise figure on is it 1.25? Is it 3.28, but right now they are making their estimates based on the number of cluster bombs that were fired during the last 72 hours or when the Israelis knew that the war was going to end in 2 or 3 days. That's what's so disturbing.
Well, yes, and again, taking Snay's comments of April 10th and then just examining the lack of cooperation on the part of Israel in releasing these coordinates of where these things are located, then dovetails with this fact that you just cited, which is in your report, that in the 72 hours of the conflict, when they knew that a ceasefire was imminent, with reference to UN Security Council Resolution 1701, they fired 90% of these munitions in that last 3 days of the war. What is your take? Obviously, we're asking for a political interpretation here.
Sure.
What is your political interpretation and analysis of their decision to utilize these in the last three days of this situation before the ceasefire took hold?
I think a couple of things. One, I think it was out of sheer frustration that the war had not gone the way Israel had expected it to go. Two, vindictive. Just being just outright vindictive, wanting to share, okay, fine, we will. This war is going to end, but we're going to end with a bang, and we're going to leave our presence in Lebanon for many years to come, despite the fact that we are not there physically with troops. These cluster bomb munitions are still the result of our presence, and you deal with it the best way you can. And three, I just think that they felt that this is something that, is a sort of, okay, here's the grand finale. We're leaving, but here's what we're leaving you with. And so that's what happened. I think the best one to ask would really be the Israelis, that, quite frankly, and ask them, why did you do this? Why did you do this?
Yes. As we look at this whole question, of course, the political implications of this and the aftermath are still in the process of unfolding. But as you look at this whole situation in regard to those last 72 hours and the lack of Israeli cooperation in disclosing the coordinates thereafter, isn't this an indication of a much larger issue as it relates to the failure of Israel's policy not only in Lebanon specifically but in Palestine as well?
I think you're right. I think that's an accurate or a fair assessment. If I may, I'd like to just add a dimension here, just to make sure that this is not either a pro-Israeli or anti-Israeli posture. It's a humanitarian issue. We're looking at it from a humanitarian perspective. And it's just not our organization. I mean, it's Human Rights Watch, Amnesty, the United Nations, the Secretary General has asked them to turn over this this information. And is it part of a larger political agenda? I don't know. I hope it's not, but it very well may be. But I think we are focusing on the humanitarian aspect. No more deaths. No more injuries. Everybody knows that Israel fired these things. Okay, tell us where so we can get them out and that you can clean these things up. And by the way, if I may add, even if we assume that they are all cleared by these battle area clearance teams, will never ever disappear, because what's happened now is, because of the rainy season and so on, these things get covered up by mud, by leaves. They get buried in the ground on farmlands, in trees, in fields, near schools, near homes. So if children or farmers are in the fields or they're playing, there's always the possibility that one of these bomblets or these cluster bombs can go off. So there'll always be a residual presence of these cluster bombs in Lebanon.
What specifically are these cluster munitions? In order to get a hold on this, as far as listeners are concerned, what are the specific characteristics of these devices?
Well, understanding, and I'm not, this is not really my area of expertise, but it's my
George. I hear my background music coming up. So we got
to
take
I'll
a break.
I'll come back to your question.
Back.
Sure.
This is Dr. George T. Cody with us today from the American Task Force for Lebanon, and we're talking about unexploded cluster bomblets. The deadly legacy of Israel's assault on Lebanon. We'll be back on Mark Dankos America on RBN, coming to you live from San Antonio. Stay tuned.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented typically by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Bird Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100-year mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out of expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit reductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report. PersonAlarms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not be prohibited by any state, county, or law.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Dr. George T. Cody, Ph.D. He heads up the American Tasks for Lebanon. We're talking about a million unexploded cluster bomblets, the deadly legacy of Israel's assault on Lebanon. You can get to this report by going to the American Task Force for Lebanon site, which is at atfl.org. That's atfl.org. Dr. Cody, before the break, we were talking about this whole issue of cluster munitions in terms of trying to get a on what they are. What are they specifically?
Well, what happens, what they are is, and if you, and if people, if your listeners, when they go to the site, they will see some photos of these cluster bombs. They are little, they're bomblets, and I say little. Some of them are about the size of a D-cell battery. Some are maybe the size of a tennis ball. Some are even the size of a soda can. And on some of them, they have these like a, it's like a, looks like a little parachute. But it's actually, when these, what happens is these cluster bombs are fired. And they're fired in three different ways, from artillery, from howitzers, I think the 155-millimeter howitzers. They're also fired from, can be fired from airplanes and also from missiles. And when they're fired, they are programmed to explode above ground. And then these bomblets that are contained within the bomb itself, which is a, looks like it's a big shell, they then are scattered all over. They just scatter all over the place once the casing explodes. These cluster bomblets then scatter all over the place, and hopefully, what happens either when they land or when they're in the air, they then they explode. They have like shrapnel that then tries to supposedly kill the enemy.
Well, you know, what's interesting, just thinking about this in terms of the fact that from looking at your report, these bombs or rockets contain anywhere from 200 to 600 of these smaller bombs.
That's correct.
And when one of these goes off, of course, these 200 to 600 smaller bombs are then scattered over a wider area. Is there any idea of the estimated range of this wider area of scattering once the initial explosion?
I don't have that information readily at my fingertips, but it's my understanding that the range depends upon, one, the size of the bomb or missile that is fired, and two, also the I guess the capability of the instrument that was used to fire these weapons. I cannot give you a detailed definition of, is it a square meter, is it 10 square meters, is
right.
100? I'm not able to do that. I just don't have that information.
Well, it's interesting that then just in terms of this, whatever the wide area is, and you've got, again, the scattering effect of this 200 to 600 smaller bombs being distributed over this area. Something in your report that that's very, very interesting, you cite the UN as saying that there's a 30 to 40% actual failure rate for these cluster bomblets in Lebanon. Does that mean that of the estimated 1.2 to 4 million that were dropped, the 30 to 40% of them did not go off?
That's correct. And let me just, if I may clarify that.
Sure.
The bomblets, the cluster bombs that we provided to Israel, we're old. We have them, and I think we still do have them in our stockpiles. Some of them were dated from the 1970s, where the failure rate, where the production at that time was much higher, and they're old. And so when I was there, because I went to Lebanon, I went down to the south. I actually visited under UN guidance, under UN auspices. I actually went to a contaminated cluster bomb site where they were actually clearing, doing the clearing. I saw, they showed me one of the casings, and on it, it had USA or U.S. made, I recall exactly, 1974. So the failure rate is correct. It's 30 to 40% in some cases.
Yes, and presumably, talking about ordnance that old, that if you have a 30 to 40% actual failure rate, you also have to be worried, of course, that at a future time, these things, in fact, are going to detonate in a way that could be totally unpredictable.
Oh, absolutely. It's even though the Israel has left Lebanon in May of 2000, but yet they are still present in a disputed area of Lebanon called Shabbat Farms, which is at the border where Israel, Syria, and Lebanon meet, it's still the remnants of an occupation because you still have these things here. They're deadly, and people will continue to die and will continue to be injured by these things. I mean, it's a fact.
Well, on this on your site at atfl.org, where people can see this bomb report, which I think stands on its own merits, I see photographs indicating that about that at least six different models that were utilized in this situation were made in the United States. We might kick that around for a little bit when we come back. This is Mark Nance, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Dr. George T. Cody of the American Task Force for Lebanon. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com or call 312-224-2710, 312-224-2710.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immune health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health. PersonAlarms.com has all your self-defense needs. Deck out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or...
America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest in the first hour of the show is Dr. T. Cody, Ph.D. He is the executive director of the American Task Force for Lebanon. We're talking about a million unexploded cluster bomblets, the deadly legacy of Israel's assault on Lebanon. And again, in terms of the estimation of how many of these cluster bomblets are in that country, it goes anywhere from 1.2 to 4 million. And we'll be keeping an eye on this story in the days ahead. George, looking then at a section of this report on your website where there are pictures of six models of these cluster bombs, and there's a caption that indicates that about 75% of these bomblets that Israel used in civilian areas in Lebanon are models made in the United States.
That's correct.
As far as that goes, would you say that the majority of people in the Middle East are aware of this, and if they are, it would seem to me that there would be a certain amount of political blowback once again in regard to U.S. foreign policy in that part of the world.
In response to your question, Mark, I'm not sure what the numbers and what the level of awareness is in terms of where they were manufactured. I know it's my understanding, or I would assume, and I'd have to make an assumption because I have not taken a poll, that where these things were manufactured among, say, some of the political elites who deal with these issues, they know where they are, or who manufactured them. I'd be surprised if they didn't know, because I'm sure that the Lebanese and the United Nations and so on have made it clear that, and it's public information, that 75%, approximately 75% of these were manufactured in the United States. So my response to your question is I'm not sure how well known it is or manufactured here. I do know that people are aware that Israel has fired these things into Lebanon, and it was definitely a travesty.
Do we have any publishable information in regard to which American defense contractors have been involved in the manufacture of these weapons?
Yeah, there are indications of those that some of the companies that do that. What I can do, rather than being inaccurate, I want to make sure, you know, that we, if name mentioned, I can get that information and send it on to you.
Hey, thank you very much. I'll look forward to taking a look at that, because when I saw these models, one of the first things that came to my mind was, well, I wonder which defense contractors are in this particular business, and I'll look forward to taking a look at that in the days ahead. You know, talking about the group that is responsible for clearing these mines, clearing these cluster bombs, the so-called Mine Action Coordination Center of South Lebanon, or MACC-SL, it's a UN agency.
Correct.
In regard to what they've been trying to do, again, looking at the report on your website, they have cleared something like 78,738 of these unexploded bomblets, which is about 8% of the total.
Mm-hmm.
In regard to the remaining 92%, if they should at some point get cooperation from the Israelis in regard to the sites, about how long is it estimated it would take for the vast majority to be cleared? In the event that they continue to get zero cooperation from the Israelis and have to go it alone, what is the estimate as to how long it would take them to clear up the majority of these?
In response to your question, since that report was published, the total area, the percentage has actually increased, and it's a little over about 90,000 now that have been cleared. So it's about 10%, as my understanding, it's gone up from the 8 to about 10%. Those are the latest figures that I have. I think it's either 90 or 94,000. And how long it would take? I've been told if they have these 50 battle area clearance teams in place, and I think by now that they do have them in place, they expect to complete clearance by the end of December. Now, I think that's a pretty noble goal, and we'd be delighted if, in fact, they're able to clear them by the end of the year. If I recall, I don't recall exactly if they did have the site coordinates, how much time it would shave off from that December date. But I suspect it would move it up quite substantially, because they know where to go. Then, I mean, they would know right now. When I went down there, for example, I was taken to a banana field. Well, the team. What happened was, they knew that these cluster bombs were fired in this general area, so they begin to send a team into these banana fields or wheat fields or wherever it may be, and start to search for these things.
Well, I tell you, just trying to imagine this in my own mind mathematically, where you have a figure ranging again from 1.2 to 4 million of these cluster bomblets, and keeping in mind that they are these bomblets, again, with reference to your report, these bomblets are typically the size of a soda can, a D-cell battery, and thinking about anywhere from 1.2 million to 4 million of these scattered throughout southern Lebanon, I can't imagine, just how difficult it's going to be and how much care has to be taken in regard to any sort of a clearing operation with this. It has to be an absolutely daunting task.
Let me tell – oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me, Mark. Go ahead.
No, that's fine.
When I was there, when I went to a site, a contaminated site, there was a team of I think it was about eight to ten sappers. So that's the real name for people who demine these cluster bombs. They're called SAPPERS. And what happens is very, very methodically and slowly, they have to lift each leaf. The twigs, because after a while on a banana plantation, for example, the leaves the leaves dry out, they fall off. They've covered these things, so they have to very carefully and very methodically lift these leaves up and see whether or not there are cluster bombs that are hidden underneath them. Because when I asked, I was going through the site, I saw these piles of leaves and grass and twig. I asked them, what are all these piles? They said, well, we have to lift every piece of vegetation before we can proceed. And they do it in a straight line. They go in a straight line. It's very systematic the way they do these. And they all stay right with each other as they're clearing these sites. It's a very slow and tedious process.
What is the level of risk that is being incurred by these people who are clearing the area?
Well, here's what I was told. I asked that question. I said, look, how long would it take me, a layman, to do this? I was told by one of the person that it was a UN official who was in charge of of one of these teams, of training teams. So it usually takes about 4 days to train someone on the clearance process. And there's two ways they do it. One, they disarm them manually, and I couldn't stay around to watch how that was done. And secondly, they have these little charges that they place that they place next to them, and they use the charge to blow up the cluster bomb. What I was told, I asked, well, I said, how effective is the equipment that they wear? You know, they wear these plastic helmets. You've probably seen them when you see these photos of people doing demining, demining landmines, and they have these vests. They have these lead. They wear these lead vests because I put on one of their outfits. Now I'll call them an outfit. I don't know what the name is for them. I was told though, if one of these cluster bombs munitions go off while they're doing it, that they really don't offer that much protection. These guys are old. They're pretty skilled at demining these things. By the way, two or three Belgian UNIFIL. I think they were connected with the United Nations Interim Force in Lebanon. Demined were wounded about 3 or 4 months ago during a demining process operation.
Yeah. I mean, I can just imagine. I'm surprised gears in that regard aren't worse.
Frankly. I am too. I was surprised myself.
Yes. This, in terms of the damage that's already been done to Lebanon from these cluster bomb contamination, give us some sort of an idea as to how extensive the damage has been thus far.
Well, let me just say the thing, 70%, and most of these were fired, by the way, in southern Lebanon, which is the area. We can define that area as the border between Israel and Israel and Lebanon and the Latani River. Most of them were fired into the southern part of the country. 70% of South Lebanon relies on agriculture. Its economy it's an agricultural based economy. So what's happened is because of these bomblets, these cluster bombs being all over the place, farmers are unable to go into the fields to plant. They weren't able to plant their winter crop, and because of that, they can't. It's hard to try to harvest. It's impossible for them. I mean, they can do it, but they do so at their own risk to harvest their spring crop. So it's affected dramatic economic effect on the agricultural sector of Lebanon's economy. It's a major economic development problem now in southern Lebanon.
And presumably, we're talking about something here that, because it involves food production, is going to have a residual fallout in the implications of this for a long time to come.
Absolutely, the olive, they rely on they have bananas, they have olive plantations, wheat, a number of various other alfalfa, a number of different other agricultural products. And so they just are unable to harvest their crops.
Yes, and in regard to trying to get a handle on the magnitude of this and the magnitude of the task that faced the folks assigned to these bomblets, we then get into the whole question of funding. I was reading in your report the program to clear this area is going to be short to the tune of $70 million, with current outlays expected to run out in mid-2007 unless funding continues. What is the prognosis?
Well, let me when I wrote that report, that was the case. But since then, the United States has as far as our contribution, I think it's close to, it's between $9 and $10. I've heard the different figures from some of our officials here, but it's in the range of between $9 and $10 million. It's my understanding that they will be able to receive sufficient funding to complete the task. Because I raised the same issue with the United Nations when I was there, and I was told that they felt pretty confident that $7 or $8 or $9 or $10 million was a sum that they could manage to come up with. So I don't think funding, at least as of today, will be a major issue.
Yes, and in terms of getting a handle on this in regard to the larger issue Israel utilizing these devices in the last 72 hours of the war when they knew that a ceasefire was imminent. The very curious circumstance where apparently the head of the IF, Dan Halutz, issued some very cautionary orders to his people in regard to the utilization of these devices in civilian areas that was ignored. And now this whole question of the bombing site coordinates. Are you aware, either in the United States government or in Europe, of any significant figures in any of these governments that are concerned enough about this issue that at least in a back-channel kind of way are trying to coordinate some activities to force Israel, in some sense of the word, to give up these bombing site coordinates?
It's not even, if I may, it's not even back-channel. We've been, I've been told by, in fact, there was a hearing, I think it was on the, I want to say the 15th or the 18th of April, where Secretary of State, David Welch. This was a hearing that was held on April 18th before the House Subcommittee on the Middle East and South Asia regarding the situation, the political situation in Lebanon. And here's what the Assistant Secretary of State said in response to a question at the April. Now this was the April. Now this is our official. This is on the record, and it's was public in a public forum. Mr. Issa, Congressman Darrell Issa, who's been very, very much in the forefront. He's a representative from California. I think it's the 48th District in California. He's been very much in the forefront of this particular issue. And here's what Mr. Welch said. He said, Mr. Welch, if Mr. Congressman Issa asked him if he has asked for or can he get the details of exactly where Israel dropped those 4 million cluster bomb units, and Assistant Secretary of State Welch responded, and I quote, "This is a really serious problem, Congressman. The United Nations has the lead in trying to obtain a detailed understanding of where the unexploded ordnance is. Israel has not yet provided detailed information on its utilization of certain weapons, meaning cluster munitions, during the July-August conflict. The U.S. has done likewise independently." And he goes on to say, this is regarding Israel's U.S. review of Israel's use of these munitions. Welch said, "We take the understandings that we have with the Israeli government very seriously and believe that our equipment should be used in accordance with U.S. laws and regulations. We briefed committee staff, including this committee, sir, on this issue as recently as late January. We have reported to Congress pursuant to the laws. We are still awaiting further information from the government of Israel, and as we obtain that, we continue our briefing for Congress of Congress." And the Secretary General, by the way, if I may add, take another moment of your time, the Secretary General on the President, actually, of the UN Security Council on April 17th, made the following statement regarding the cluster bombs in Lebanon at the 5,664th meeting of the Security Council. And I quote the President of the UN Security Council, and that's Britain's UN Ambassador, Amir Jones Perry. And here's what he said. "The Security Council expressed its deepest worry at the presence in very high numbers of unexploded ordnance in South Lebanon, including cluster munitions. The Security Council deplores the death and injury of dozens of civilians, as well as several deminers, caused by those munitions since the cessation of hostilities. It supports in this context the Secretary General's request to Israel to provide the UN detailed data on Israel's use of cluster munitions in southern Lebanon," unquote.
We'll be back with Dr. George D. Cody of the American Task Force for Lebanon. You can find this report, A Million Unexploded Cluster Bomblets, The Deadly Legacy of Israel's Assault on Lebanon, on that website. We'll be back with Dr. Cody. This is Mark Ancos, America, BN. Stay tuned.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need, fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fake money matters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel or Jeff Bennett help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Coming to you live, San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been joined in this last hour by Dr. George Cody, and he is telling us, as the executive director of the American Task Force for Lebanon, a little bit about the million unexploded cluster bomblets, the deadly legacy of Israel's assault on Lebanon. Dr. Cody, I know we just have a few minutes left for you this morning, but you need elsewhere at around 8 o'clock Central Time, which is just in a few minutes. But tell us a little bit about the petition that EFL is circulating throughout the Internet, trying to get people to sign a petition in regard to this cluster bomb.
Yes, I can do that. And there's another point that I'd like to make before before we leave. Thousands of people actually have signed this petition, and we're going to go on sort of updating the report that we have and then provide additional information. But the response has been excellent. I don't have the precise number that's being managed. We have a webmaster who takes care of that, but it had been in the thousands in terms of the response. And if I may, just to add to that, I'd like to just mention something to you and to your listeners. Both the Senator Feinstein and Senator Leahy have introduced legislation on the Senate side, and it's called their Senate Bill, I think it's Senate Bill 594. And it's the cluster of the Munitions Civilian Protection Act of 2007. And then on the House side, Congressman McGovern has introduced legislation, and it's House Bill 1755. And both of these legislation require that the munitions, that their use be restricted, and also the sale or transfer cluster bombs be restricted to the point where if 1% or higher of your munitions fail to detonate on contact. So it basically restricts the use, sale, or transfer of cluster bombs where 1% or higher of these munitions fail to detonate on contact. And it's been that bill, Senator Feinstein's bill, has been co-sponsored by Senators Kennedy, Mikulski, and Senator Sanders and Cantwell. And on the House side, it's the same bill. Congressman McGovern from Massachusetts introduced it, and that's been co-sponsored by Congressman Daryl Issa and Congresswoman Betty McCollum have introduced that. But the point that I want to make, and this is back in September of last year, 2006, Senator Feinstein introduced an amendment to the Defense Appropriations Bill. It was defeated 70-30. Not one Republican actually voted for it. But let me just tell you what it was defeated by 70-30, her amendment, which basically was the same thing. It was actually a little bit stronger. And one of the points she said back on the 6th of September, and this is Senator Feinstein, "Let me say that I join United Nations Humanitarian Coordinator for Lebanon, David Shearer, in calling on Israel to provide information on where the cluster bombs were used in Lebanon. Such information is vital to speed up the cleanup process and save lives. And this is, you know, by Senator Feinstein, who is a very dear friend of Israel, saying, look, we don't look at a, you know, this is a humanitarian issue, folks. Let's get with the game. So there's, yeah. I would suggest to your listeners to call their senator, to write their senator, to call the staff and tell them to co-sponsor the Senate bill and the House bill. It's the Senate bill 594 on the Senate side and House bill 1755. I'm sorry, on the Senate side it's the Senate bill 594 and on the House side it's House bill 1755. And tell their congressmen or senators to co-sponsor this legislation.
Well, in terms of where it presently stands, what do you think the possibility is that either one of those bills is ultimately going to make it to the full Senate and the House?
Well, here's my take, and I'm still trying to get a read on this from some of the staff that that there may be an attempt to try and tie these bills into the Defense Appropriations Authorization Bill, maybe come June or July of this year. I'm optimistic since the Democrats are now in control of the Congress that there may be some progress on this issue. But we need to continue to press, despite the fact, even if the legislation doesn't pass, to press the Israelis to turn over these site coordinates.
Dr. Cody, I'd like to thank you for being on the show.
People thank you,
can
Mark.
Find his website at the American Task Force for Lebanon, ATFL.org. We can report entitled A Million Unexploded Cluster Bomblets, The Deadly Legacy of Israel's Assault on Lebanon. Mark Dankos, America, will be back live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.